Today we're in lesson 12 of Ecclesiastes, and we're in chapter 5, verses 8 through 20. Today we'll look at the remainder of this chapter where Solomon deals with the oppression of the poor again and the injustice of it, and then discusses wealth as well. So let's dive in. In verse 8, he says, "If you see the oppression of the poor and the violent perversion of justice and righteousness in a province, don't marvel at the matter. For high officials watches over high official, and higher officials are over them." It's just interesting. Here we definitely see a complex bureaucracy in action, and Solomon knew this well as the king. So, and then in verse 9, he says, "Moreover, the profit of the land is for all. Even the king is served from the field." All right, so Solomon says this oppression of the poor and injustice that went with it should surprise no one. The poor oppressed that he had in mind here, it would be the common laborer, the farmer, the shepherds, any of those who work to supply the basic needs of all the kingdom. And even with a complex, and possibly corrupt bureaucracy of laws and taxes, et cetera, everything that goes with it, everyone depends on what comes from the farmer's field, even the king. So the preacher seemed to delight in these ironies of life. In other words, while the peasant is protected by the king, or at least he should be, as the executor of the laws, the king himself is dependent on the peasant, and the wealth of the nation is the fruit of the laborer's toil. So then he goes on to say in verses 10 through 12, "He who loves silver will not be satisfied with silver, nor he who loves abundance with increase. This also is vanity. When goods increase, they increase who eat them. So what profit have the owners except to see them with their eyes? The sleep of the laboring man is sweet, whether he eats little or much, but the abundance of the rich will not permit him to sleep." Well, of all people, Solomon knew that the gathering of riches did not satisfy. He knew this also is vanity. And Solomon also knew that as one's net worth increased, so did one's expenses and the expectations of others and the needs of others. So when Solomon says, "The sleep of the laboring man is sweet, the abundance of the rich will not permit him to sleep," he's really indulging in the envy here of the laboring man who has so much less to worry about. The poor rich man, he has these greater worries that keep him up at night. So then he goes on in verses 13 through 17, and he says, "There's a severe evil which I have seen under the sun, riches kept for their owner to their own hurt. But those riches perish through misfortune. When he begets a son, there's nothing in his hand. As he came from his mother's womb, naked shall he return. To go as he came, and he shall take nothing from his labor, which he may carry away in his hand. And this also is a severe evil. Just exactly as he came, so shall he go. And what profit has he who has labored for the wind? All his days he also eats in darkness, and he has much sorrow and sickness and anger." Solomon next observes that wealth does not bless the life of every wealthy person, or at least not all the time. He had, I think, two rich men in mind here. One hoarded all his wealth and ruined himself by becoming a miser. The other man made some unsound investments and lost his wealth. He was right back where he started from and had no estate to leave to his son. He spent the rest of his days in the darkness of discouragement and defeat, and he did not enjoy life. like all of us, he brought nothing into the world at birth, and he took nothing out of the world at death. Well, remember Job, when he lost his family, all except his wife, and his servants, and all his possessions, he mourned, and he worshiped God, and then he said in chapter 1, verses 21 and 22, "Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked shall I return. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." In all this, Job did not sin, nor charge God with wrong. Paul states in 1 Timothy 6, verses 7 and 8, "For we brought nothing into the world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and clothing, with these we shall be content." Let's keep in mind that Solomon was advocating neither poverty nor riches, because both have their problems. Remember what he wrote in Proverbs, actually, chapter 30, verses 7 through 9. He says this, and I love these verses. "Two things I request of you," he's talking about God, "deprive me not before I die. Remove falsehood and lies far from me. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with the food allotted to me, lest I be full and deny you and say, 'Who is the Lord?' Or lest I be poor and steal and profane the name of the Lord." The preacher has warned against the love of money and the delusions that wealth can bring. So now, in the closing verses of the chapter, he affirmed once again the importance of accepting our station in life and simply enjoy the blessings that God gives us. He says in verses 18 through 20, "Here's what I've seen. It's good and fitting for one to eat and drink and to enjoy the good of all his labor in which he toils under the sun all the days of his life, which God gives him, for it is his heritage. As for every man to whom God has given riches and wealth and given him power to eat of it, to receive his heritage and rejoice in his labor, this is a gift of God. For he will not dwell unduly on the days of his life, because God keeps him busy with the joy of his heart. It's good and fitting to labor faithfully, enjoy the good things of life, and accept it all as the gracious gift of God. Solomon gave us this wise counsel in chapter 2, verse 24, chapter 3, verses 12 and 13, and chapter 3, verse 22. And he's going to repeat it at least three more times. So Solomon added another important thought here. The ability to enjoy life's blessings is also a gift from God, not just what he gives us, but the ability to enjoy it. Now, he's going to expound on this in the next chapter. In verse 20, let me just say that the meaning of this verse is not clear. When he says, "For he will dwell unduly on the days of his life because God keeps him busy with the joy of his heart," we really have two possibilities here. The person who rejoices in God's daily blessings will never have regrets. Or the other possibility is that the believer who gratefully accepts God's gifts today will not fret and worry about how long he or she will live. They take each day at a time and use it to serve the Lord. In a nutshell, Solomon knows wealth does not satisfy. Wealth brings difficulties to life, even though it's a gift of God. The important thing is that we love the Lord, accept the lot he signs to us, and enjoy the blessings that he graciously bestows. A good view of how we should deal with, you know, wealth, money, possessions, with God and eternity in the picture is 1 Timothy 6, verses 19 through 21. We'll close the lesson with these verses. "Command those," Paul says, "who are rich in this present age, not to be haughty, nor to trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who gives us richly all things to enjoy. Let them do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to give, willing to share, storing up for themselves a good foundation for the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. Until next time, may we think on these things. You can download the study guide for today's lesson at naomistable.com.